Okay, so good morning, everybody. My name is Mohammed Al Dsouqi. I'm working at the Technical University of Liberec, and I'm presenting today for Professor Dana Kromenkova and Professor Jerry Militki. I'm not part of this research, so I'll try to. I'm just presenting it. I'm not part of it, so I'm not aware of all the details of their work. It talks about the characterization of stable yarns by acoustic dynamic modulus, and we will talk about the sound propagation in materials. That is a physical phenomena that happens everywhere, and how some companies can manage to manipulate this phenomenon into making an instrument to measure the modulus of the material. We'll talk about the this modulus in the fibers and the yarns, and how the orientation factor affects the or can be calculated based on the acoustic modulus in the fibers and in the yarn. So, as you may know, that all waves propagate in different forms, and for example, this wave in the air propagate with the particle pulsation, and you have this relationship or between the sound speed inside the material and the material's density, as well as the modulus of this material. So based on this relation, Lawson Hamphill managed to do this instrument for measuring the dynamic modulus of the material. And this device has two modules. One of them to measure the fibers or the yarns, this one here, or to measure the two-dimensional materials like fabrics in this model here. And the both of them are the same. You have some source of sound waves, and you have on the other side of the material, you have a probe that measures or collects the sound waves that transfers across the material. So if you measure, for example, a fiber or a yarn, you just add the yarn here, and you apply some pretension on the yarn, and the sound propagates from a place to another. And you know this distance, and you got here the time between the wave or the signal goes in the material, and the time that this signal was received on the other side, and because you know the distance and the time, you can calculate the speed. And this works by putting the yarn, for example, and the same thing apply here in two-dimensional materials like fabrics. So you change the distance between the probe, the two probes, the emitter and the receiver, and you measure the time and get the sound speed. Once you get the speed, you can use the previous equation here to get the modulus, or you can use it as well to get the orientation, because the wave propagates across the material in relationship with the material orientation. Like if you are using a fiber, the orientation of polymers inside this fiber determines the sound wave will propagate inside the fiber. So You can use this relationship once you know the speed of the sonic wave inside the material at 100% orientation. And this is a property of the material. You can just look it up in the tables. And you get the you measure this this speed, and you use this equation to get the orientation of the polymer inside this fiber. So, and you can get you can see here in this table, if you get like cosine theta equals one, you got fully oriented polymer chains inside or molecules inside the fiber. And if you get this this theta or cosine theta between in the range of minus one to one, you actually get a random orientation of the of the of the molecules inside the fiber. And if you get it zero, it means the all the molecular chains are oriented in perpendicular to the direction of the wave propagation. So this was in the fibers. And people were thinking, okay, if we can do this with the fibers, why we can't do it in yarns? But the problem with the yarns is you have a problem with the yarn, which is discontinuity of material. You get fibers just attached to another fiber. So you get a combination between the orientation of the molecules inside the fiber and the orientation of the fibers inside the yarn. So some models, really early models, like 1907, that correlates the orientation of the fibers inside the yarn and how it is correlated to the elastic modulus of the yarn. So you got this relationship between the elastic modulus of the yarn and the elastic modulus of the fibers and the orientation factor. And after some manipulation of the equations, you can reach a relationship between you can get the orientation factor here in terms of the material density, the packing density of the fibers inside the yarn, and some other constants. This was Zhigov model for the orientation of the fibers inside the yarn. On the other hand, there is a white model, and it's white here. It is also another relationship between the elastic model or the modulus of the yarn and the modulus of the fiber, with some other factors that depend on the isotropic properties of the material. And again, I'm not going into details about the derivations of these equations and the meaning of each term in them, which are can be found, of course, in the manuscript. The third model that implemented the modulus of the yarn in the relationship with the modulus of the fibers was PAN model. And this model actually uses the not only one single fiber, but a bundle of fibers. So they calculate the orientation factor here as a ratio between the modulus of the yarn and the modulus of the straight bundle of fibers. So you got not a single fiber, you got a bundle of fibers, and you get the modulus of them without any twist. And again, some other relation with the to calculate the Poisson ratio of this material. Professor Nitzkar at Tehran University of Liberec developed this model for the packing density of the yarn in terms of the of some material properties, such as the material density, as well as some other like the count and the twist level inside the material and so on. And they found that the limit for the packing density inside the material to be some numbers. For example, for cotton, you got the limited or the maximum packing density that you can get of cotton yarn is 0.7. And other materials, 0.8. So in this work, as experimental work here, they used three different polypropylene fibers. All of them are polypropylene with different properties that I will list later on. And they used to create from each fiber type, there was 13 yarns that were created and measured for their modulus using Lawson-Hamphill dynamic modulus tester. And as you see here, these are the different fibers, fiber 1, 2, 3. All of them are, the material of them are, all of them are polypropylene. And these are the mean values for the for these properties, and this their variability. And each one of these fibers was used to produce 13 yarns at different twist factors. And again, these yarns were tested on the DMT, dynamic modulus tester. And here you have you see the results of the yarn packing density with the diameter. So in here you have the increase of the twist coefficient of the material. You get the expected increase of the packing density of the material, and the decrease in the diameter as long as you increase the twist of the yarn. You get lower diameter and higher packing density. And again, the maximum packing density or the limit for this type of material was 0.7. Using the commonly used stress strain for the fibers, you can calculate also the initial tensile modulus, and you can see also some decrease of the material of the initial modulus as you increase the twist factor. So the time is pressing now here. Yes, I'm trying to go quick now. Here you can see also the relationship between the twist coefficient and the sonic velocity inside the material. And as you notice here also, there is a decrease of this sonic velocity, which also means some decrease in the modulus here. In this relation, you get the acoustic dynamic model and the initial static modulus, a relationship between both of them, and both of them are having higher correlation, increasing the initial modulus also was noticed to increase the measured acoustic modulus. The important thing here was to know some parameters about the orientation of the fibers inside the yarn, not only to measure the modulus of the material. With the increase of the twist coefficient, you got some decrease in the relative strength of the fiber of the yarn, as can be noticed here. And finally, how the packing density and the twist can be measured. You get just the cross-sectional view of the fibers inside the yarn, and you calculate the radial packing density that can be used also to calculate the packing density of the yarn. And as you increase the twist coefficient, you get some increase in the packing density. And this is also the same thing with some limit of the packing density of this polypropylene yarns. So in conclusion, yarns spun from finer fibers have higher packing density at the same twist level due to higher relative fiber surface. Packing density of polypropylene yarn is increasing function of twist coefficient to the limit value of 0.7. And yarns spun from finer fibers are more squeezed inside the yarn. The orientation factor can be calculated from the ratio of the yarn to the fiber bundle, and you can also manipulate it with some other models like white model and pair model. So thank you so much, and if you have any questions, please let me know. Thank you.